terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
You know, the millennial generation, supposedly postmodern, one of my church history books I'm reading now talking about that, postmodern, that is, you know, what's right for you is right for you, and what's right for me is what's right for me. I can't put yours on me, and you can't, and we in the church go, that's crazy, but we do it. Let me tell you how we do it in the church. Well, it depends on how you interpret it. That's your interpretation. I have my interpretation. Well, that's relativism, folks. Just religious, made religious sounding. No, there is one interpretation to every scripture. Multiple applications. I don't argue that. But it is not, but we've turned it into relativism. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Well, I'm the teenager, and I interpret that differently. See, we change the interpretation based on where we live. That's relativism. That's a God that we've brought into our Israel. I'm going to go back to it, all right? We'll go back to the egalitarian issue. So people will say, what is the problem with God being portrayed by a woman? Well, come on. You're just being legalistic. Let me ask you a question. When God refers to himself, how does he refer to himself? He. By accident? Just because of their culture. Well, I hate to tell you, God said all kinds of things that didn't fit their culture. Okay? And Jesus came along and sort of threw that in their face. Okay, you don't go by the culture. Right? God himself did that. But the world has made that idea look so good. And the other idea is so bad, you must be Joseph Stalin or something to believe the other view. Because only good, enlightened, open-minded people, they're over here. Well, who doesn't want to be a good, considered open-minded guy? I mean, you know, I don't want to be the guy that's judgmental because after all, the church has been judgmental for so long. That's why people don't come because they feel judged. And I don't want to be judged, so really does it matter? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I don't think we recognize how, another one, naturalism. You guys know what I mean by naturalism, okay? Well, we've dug up dinosaur bones. So the world's billions of years old, so now we compromise on Scripture because something outside, proof that outside, we bring something inside that's really an ungodly idea. And we do the same thing over here with egalitarianism, with entertainment, okay, with relativism. We do the same thing bringing it in. And the reason I bring this to you is because we think of Israel as a bunch of idiots. Oh, come on! How could you build idols? How could you worship other gods? I mean, God was right there. He led you out of Egypt, all that kind of thing. And we think of them for some reason, they were just weak or something. We're exactly the same. Now, I do want you to notice that the prophet does not call the people to repentance. He doesn't say, repent and you'll be okay. Didn't say that. He just tells them, God did this, you disobeyed. That's it. Well, I don't know about you, but I want a solution. I don't want to just hear the problem. He doesn't call them. He doesn't give a message of repentance like Nehemiah or Jeremiah does. And I'll be honest, it seems like, listening in the story, Israel, okay, you're right, we disobeyed. You don't go, oh, well, what do we do now? How do we get right with God now? You don't hear any of that. The story just jumps all of a sudden to this guy who's threshing wheat in the wine press. Okay, now this is actually a Middle Eastern wine press. They come in different ways, all right? But you can see over here, let me point with my little pointer here. Up here, see that little canal? So they would crush grapes up here, the juice would fall down in there. And they weren't always round. They come in various shapes. But the reason point is, they were always at the bottom of a vineyard. Now, anybody wonder why that would be? Because nobody wants to carry grapes uphill. I'm serious. They put them at the bottom of the hill because I ain't carrying a basket full of grapes uphill. I'm going to carry it downhill. All right? So they were always down at the bottom of a hill. So in verse 11, it says this, and the angel of the Lord came and sat. How many of your versions say sat? It can mean sit. It could be stay under, remain under. So some scholars say we don't believe it set because nowhere else in Scripture do we find angels sitting. So that he was at this place where he remained under the tree watching Gideon. Under this oak, and there they see Gideon beating the wheat on the wine in the wine press. So let me see here. Okay, so, and this is from Logos Bible Software. I got to give credit. So, and I'll actually show you some old pictures of that in a minute. So here would be your harvested grain, and there's a sled right here that the animal would pull around, okay? And this would, you ever taken wheat and rolled it in your, some of us have done that, and rolled it in your hands and how the grain comes out of it? That's the process that they can do it sort of on a larger scale. And these would typically be in higher places where the wind blows. So you'd throw that stuff that's left up in the air, and the chaff, the skin, if you will. Think of if you don't have done wheat, but if you've ever peeled garlic and you get that real thin, leafy, okay? So you'd throw it up in the air and the chaff would blow in the wind and what would fall down was like the fruit, the grain. All right? So here's some pictures taken just after the turn of the century of just that type of thing in the Middle East. And what I found interesting, in the sled, they actually embedded rocks. Sort of give it a rough file type, grater type texture to help break that up. But the point is this. Gideon's not on top of a hill throwing stuff up in the air. Why would that be? Yeah, because bad guys would see you on the top of the hill throwing your grain up in the air. So he's down in a low point, in a hole, without an animal, because there aren't any, right? They've taken most of them. In a hole, and I don't know about you, but harvest time is going to be warm. You ever been down in an open hole in the summer? Dude, it's hot. You know, I remember working down in basements. There's nothing above you yet. And just being in a basement in the summertime, is there any wind? No. He's probably frustrated in himself. As he's trying to do thresh grain in a way that really doesn't work. There's a reason they did it the other way, okay? So here he is, trying to do a pretty common thing under uncommon circumstances, okay? He's trying to go about life like there's nothing wrong, but he has to adapt in some way because there is something wrong. You're trying to go on like the marriage is okay, but you got that hidden sin. So it's a bit frustrating. You're trying to go on with mom and dad and act like everything's peachy keen and go to church and sit there, but you're uncomfortable. It's not working right because you're trying to make it look like life's okay, but it ain't. Eventually it blows up on you, by the way. What has happened in Israel, hiding has become normal. The new norm was hiding. Hiding in caves, hiding in wine presses. All right? So the angel of the Lord shows up and says this, and you all probably know this, and I'm really going to try here to be expeditious. Here's what the angel said. The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Okay, wait a minute. And you all notice, he's hiding. That statement doesn't work with his actions, with where he's living and how he's living right now. But I'll tell you this much, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt of this. He is doing what he can do. He didn't sit at home and wait for somebody else to feed his family. He was willing to risk at least to go out and do something, even if it was difficult, And you think I'm just, no. What do you think? God, when God calls men, you see in Scripture, they're men who were busy. Moses was tending sheep. David was tending sheep. The shepherds outside of Bethlehem were busy when the Lord came and announced to him. Elisha was plowing a field. The disciples themselves, right? They were fishermen. They were busy doing life, if I can say it like that. Okay? Deborah was using her gift. Shagmar was obviously plowing because that's where he had the ox goad. Ehud was doing what he was asked to do, and that was delivering tribute. I'm going to guarantee you this in the spiritual. God doesn't call you to do things when you're sitting and doing nothing. I've learned this over time. When you're doing something, that may not be the thing that you're called to do. Gideon's purpose wasn't to thresh wheat in a wine press or on a hill. Okay? But he was doing something. And you think that's a stretch? I hate to tell you. You go out and read the commentators and the scholars, they see the same thing. They see there's a pattern in Scripture. God tends to call those who want to be busy. And I say that because maybe the current... I'll leave it. Okay? Now notice what he says. The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. He doesn't say this. O mighty man of valor. He didn't say that. I hear people concentrate on that statement. He's not acting like a man of valor. But you missed it. God is with you, mighty man of valor. The valiant, the courage, is not in Gideon. Gideon can have the courage because God's with him. Matter of fact, this is what Gideon gets stuck on. He doesn't hear mighty man of valor. Okay? He says this in the next verse. Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us." Notice what Gideon heard. Wait a minute. God's with you. He doesn't deal with the valor part. He hears that first phrase, "God's with you, mighty man of valor." That's what makes him. He doesn't know it yet, but that's what makes him the mighty man of valor, is the fact that God is with him. "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, look what he says. If the Lord is with us." Now, the Lord's given a word. He's with you. Yeah, but let me hang on here. I don't think you understand the situation. "Then why has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?'" The word of the prophet. "But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of..." Who did he blame? He didn't even blame the Midianites. He blames God. Dude. Well, I guess he's sort of right. Because God gave them over to the Midianites. All right? See, I don't think Gideon understood. He didn't understand that the problem was Israel itself. He thought it was God not doing his job. And after all, since God is love, right? He would be against any kind of suffering. I mean, God wouldn't be in struggle, would he? God wouldn't be in times of lack or loss, and I use the word lack on purpose because of certain television preachers. God doesn't want you to be poor. I've heard that. Tell that to Gideon. These people were living in caves and had nothing. God can be in, and I'll guarantee you he is, in the midst of the mess with you. He probably he is. There, in some way or another, he's sovereign over it. If God is with us, why are we why are we in this mess? And where's the God of the old days? You know where the God of the old days is? With the people who did it God's way. Well, you know, I heard these stories about growing up, grandma's church and great grandpa's church, and God did. You start living the way they do and pray as much as grandma did and see what happens. Grandma probably went through a lot of hardship to learn to pray that way. "And the Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength, deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?'" It goes from Israel's a mess to the singular you. Oh. I was talking about why is Israel in this mess? And then the Lord, notice it changed here. The Lord, that is the tetragrammaton. That's Yahweh, Yahweh. Ooh, a Christophany. All right? Because we know it can't be the Father. No one's ever seen the Father and lived. It isn't this Holy Spirit because he's Spirit. Anyway, I'm not breaking the theology down in that. But wait a minute. Whoa. I'm talking about a corporate problem here. Why are you talking to me? One of the things I'll suggest, what I do here in Gideon's questions, why? He really had a concern for the condition things were in. God's going to use the guy who is concerned. God's going to use the guy who sees the situation and it bothers him. Martin Luther King Jr., he saw a problem. It bothered him. So he was moved to action because it bugged him. A whole lot of other people didn't bother. Rosa Parks said, I had enough of this. I ain't sitting in the back of the bus. I've seen the problem. It's pushed me to the limit. And I use those examples because they're more to our modern culture. And he says to this, have I not sent you? But the first word there is go. Go. Go where? To whom? With what? I don't know, but that's what I would ask. And I need you, important that you notice the order. Go. Do. Have I not sent you? No. I'm waiting for the power to come first. I'm waiting for, quote, the miracle first. That's what often we do. We wait for that instead of the answer. Go make disciples of all nations. I'll keep moving. I'm sorry for running long. No, I'm not. And he said to this, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least among Manasseh. I am the youngest of my father's house. I'm not qualified for the job. I don't have the necessary skills. Did the angel or did the Lord ask him about his skills? He just told him, go. See, since I picked you, that's all you need to know. Now, I understand there's humility. And the guy who thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, too, God typically doesn't use. So there is that humility to that. But the Lord, so after he says this, I'm not qualified. I don't have the skill. I can't memorize scripture. I can't pray. I haven't been to Bible college. I don't know how to. I can't. All those type of things. Okay? Behold, but the Lord said to him, surely I will go with you and you shall defeat. He hasn't given him any answers yet. At least Moses, by the time he got to Pharaoh, before he had to leave, got a stick that can turn into a snake. He got something. And that's the first thing he does, right? Gideon gets nothing. He's got nothing. You're just to go. You know, in most of the pictures you see, Gideon's got armor on, you know. I doubt if he had that. Okay. So Gideon said to him, now this part gets a bit confusing, and I am hurrying, and I'm sorry. If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak to me. Well, wait a minute. No. Show me a sign you're you. Well, he's the one speaking to you. Who? If I'm not me speaking to you, who am I? Right? That's the way it sounds like to us. But wait a minute. You came in the name of the Lord. If it's really God. So he says this. Don't leave until I come back and I bring this offering, this gift to you. Okay? And lay it before you. And so the Lord said, I will remain until you return. Okay? Watch what happens. He asked for a sign, right? But he recognizes before he gets, he must give. He's got it. Now, it's part of their culture, but he's not in his house. You know, if you come to my house, I put a meal before you. That's their culture. They're out under a tree. He says, well, then let me honor you, give to you. Then I know then I can ask for a sign from you. I mean, I'm asking for one, but I recognize this. I must take the first step. So he goes and realizes, remember, they don't have a lot of food. He kills a baby goat. He makes out of an ephah flour. He makes bread. I don't know about you, but there probably wasn't a lot. And he's given that. It tells me this, and again, it isn't just me, all the scholars. It was some way sacrificial, not a sacrifice, but sacrificial in the sense that the most likely that he didn't have a lot of this to give. Okay? But he knew how it worked. So Gideon goes to his house, prepares this kid and broth and stuff, and he comes back to give it to the Lord. And the Lord, or the angel, depends on what verse you're reading, okay? He tells him to take all this and set the meat, which was in a basket, and the bread, and pour the broth over it. Sound familiar? Yeah. Remember Elijah? Yeah. Pour it over it, and then the Lord takes his little staff, touches the stone in the offering, and the whole thing goes up in smoke or in fire, all right? and then he just disappears. Okay? I want to suggest this, that so often we're in a place of need, okay? And I know we do, and God does do that sometimes, just meets the need. But there's the principle of the kingdom, all right? Draw near to me and, okay? Now, I don't want you to think money, because that's where everybody will go, okay? But he honored the guest, okay? He gave him a place of importance and priority. So your life's a mess. You're coming along. You don't know what to do. Give God a place of priority. Give to him that, and I'm going to use it in time. It could be that time for worship, the time for prayer, the time to meditate on the word, or whatever like that, okay? And so now the angel's gone. The Lord's gone, okay? And he says this. Gideon says, "Now I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face," like Moses. "And the Lord said to him," wait a minute, I thought he disappeared. This is a voice coming out of nowhere. All right. "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Notice the promise. Okay. "Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, 'The Lord is peace.'" The Hebrew being Jehovah Shalom. Watch what happens when he recognizes and he gives to the Lord. The Lord responds, and the Lord promises what to him? Peace. That uncomfortable thing because you're running around in your sin and you're not peaceful. Life's got you running. Start putting God in priority, giving in his place and honoring him, and see what happens. So through this, I come up with five basic points. God loves us too much to let us stay in sin. He will find you. All right? Be humble. Invite him to stay. "God, I repent. I'm humble." Now, God, how do I invite God to stay? Obey. Well, that's one. But one of the, God inhabits the... Yeah. Okay, God, now I understand that, and I'm repenting. God, now I'm going to honor you. God wants to hang around where he's honored. No, God's not really gone, but you understand the difference. It draws us. And so that was the fourth point. Give thanks for God's mercy and grace. God has no obligation to save Israel at this particular time. No obligation to use Gideon. All right? And then you do this. Go. Don't wait. Go. If you're busy doing for God, you probably don't have enough time to be doing a lot of sin. Okay? If the church in America would understand that it's supposed to be busy doing God stuff, not program stuff, not my stuff, God stuff, just go and then God will do. Too many of us wait for God to do, then we will. And then I'll use Peter as an example. We'll wait till we see Jesus walking on the water and then say, "Hey, if it's you, ask me to come." That's not the pattern in Scripture. The pattern is, go, I'll be with you. And as you walk it out, you'll get to see me work. All right? And then we're going to go on here and see some mistakes that Gideon made in the process. All right? That we think because this mighty man of valor, he's got it all figured out. Okay? But one of the things I want to call us to today as I wrap up with this, What Baals are in your life? Why did you come to church today? Don't answer the question out loud. Ask it, why did you come? Because it makes you feel better. You have to figure that out, all right? Ask yourself if any of those idols or gods that I talked about, are they yours? In your time of starvation, I'll put it that way, where do you go? To the Xbox? To the six-pack? Well, understand this. God will find you. Humble yourself. Repent. Put him back in the place of priority. Here's the problem, though. You ready? When you do that, he's going to ask you to go. And I don't want to go. That's why we don't do that. No, oh, Pastor, you can go. Somebody can go. But we always talk about the problem corporately. We can do that all day long. The problem with our country, the lost, everything else, the problems in the church. Ready? But God always turns it personal. That thing you complain about in the church, you fix. Let's stand. Father, today we repent. I repent of those things that I have held up in your stead where you haven't been the priority. God, I repent of the sin that might be my heart or my mind. God, I ask you to deal with me in honesty, Lord, which only you can do anyway. But deal with me there and let my heart be humbled. God, work in me that I would be humble before you. And God, I would put you in that place of priority and recognize when you convict me, God, I'm going to give you the praise and the glory for your mercy and grace because you don't have an obligation to point out my sin and save me. And God, I pray that everyone here will understand that the response to the mercy and grace of God is go. The response to being redeemed is go. That we would then, God, take up your banner in the earth and we would be used of you for your glory, we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.